many of the things you saw in the video, I'm going to just expand on each of those six mission fields and show you how you are a part of something really big. And my calling as AFLC World Mission Director is to connect your congregation with those mission fields. And then when I'm on those mission fields visiting our missionaries, I'm connecting them to you and telling them about you and the folks we met at Boyertown and how they're praying for them, what they're doing, and acknowledging that you are a miracle here. You're a miracle congregation. God has raised you up for this time and this place just as much as the new congregation in Paraguay, which I think in 10 days will celebrate their first anniversary. That's a new, really new congregation. But which one's more important? God has a need for the gospel to come forth through congregations, both here and there. I want to ask you a question. Let's see. Do I ask you a question before? Let's read the scripture first. I'm going to ask you to stand again and turn in your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Matthew chapter 28. I've entitled this message, Our Great Commission. Our Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these words are your words of truth, and we pray that you would use them in a mighty way in our hearts and in our congregation to show us how we can be involved in your work, how we can come to you and we can go to others with that gospel message. We thank you for each one who's here, and we pray that you would allow us to understand your truth this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm going to just tell you because I'm afraid of what I hear. Okay, so I'm not going to ask you a question. That's what I'm thinking of. Barna Research has done a couple polls in the last couple of years about the Great Commission. And one of those has been really intriguing to me because they asked in 2021, just last year, of all the Christian, churched Christians, those who are regularly in church on Sunday morning, have you heard of the Great Commission? Okay, now that would have been my question. Statistics say that only 48% of you, well, 52% of you would have said, yeah, I've heard of it. Because 48%, according to Barna, have never heard of the Great Commission. People regularly attending church. So really, you know, as pastors, that the blame isn't out here. The blame is here. We don't talk about it enough, maybe. Maybe the mission directors don't talk about it enough. What is the Great Commission? If you're looking in your Bible, I hope you have a title. Probably before verse 16, it says, The Great Commission. And the Great Commission is nothing, it's not financial. It's not a percentage you get if you do something for God. Is not, but that's kind of what Barna has found out when they do this. The business mind of people, they're saying, oh yeah, it must be something to do with, you know, a percentage of offering, 10% tithe or something. No, the Great Commission is not the tithe. The Great Commission is what God has called the church to do, and he leads here in showing the disciples what he's calling them to do. So we want to explore this morning, the Great Commission, and this is our theme, that every follower of Jesus can have confidence to participate in the Great Commission. I believe that. I believe that when Jesus gave this Great Commission to the disciples, it was for the church, it's for us today, and the disciples were lacking boldness, and I think that's maybe what we lack today too. Some of us lack confidence that, well, I don't know if I should really be doing that. I don't know if I'm gifted enough. And so what is it that we can do to have the confidence to participate in the Great Commission? That's my question for us this morning. And I want to answer it by looking at two points. And it's simply this. Come to Jesus and then go and make disciples. And it doesn't mean always go across the oceans, but it's come to Jesus wherever you are and then go to those around you wherever you are. And we're going to be looking at those things. Here's the official definition of a commission. A commission is an authoritative order, charge, or direction. Authoritative order. Who does it come from? Well, Jesus here is speaking with the disciples. And what's just happening? Matthew chapter 28. If you have your Bible open, can you see what's going on in Matthew chapter 28? Verse 6 says, He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Go and tell his disciples, the resurrection has just taken place, Matthew chapter 28. And later on, as the 11 disciples are in Galilee and they go to the mountain Jesus told them and designated, when they saw him, they worshiped, but some were doubtful. Verse 18, so Jesus came and spoke to them with authority, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. So this is the Great Commission, to go to all the nations. So coming to Jesus, that first point, come to Jesus and then go and make disciples. It's really the first of two commands. Come to Jesus. Jesus says, come and follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. I really love where this appears in the Bible, because at least in my Bible, I just have Matthew chapter 28, and then right here is Mark. And Mark, of course, kind of resets the timeline and starts over with the calling of the disciples. And as we look at this, there's the baptism of Jesus. But what's interesting to me about this is, what does coming to Jesus mean? Well, we go right to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1, and it's John the Baptist, who's the forerunner of Jesus, who says that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the ministry. When Jesus called the disciples, as he's doing here in just a little bit later in Mark, he's calling the disciples to come and follow him. It is to come in repentance and faith. It is to come and follow him. And we cannot participate, and we will certainly won't have confidence for the Great Commission, if we don't first of all come to Jesus ourselves. That acknowledgement, and as we have done this morning, of confessing our sins, and then that great promise that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we come to him, he can do it. It's only through Jesus. But that invitation to come to Jesus is a call to salvation. And I know that's what you're about here at Living Faith. I know that's what you're doing in the congregation, to come to Jesus. Come and follow me, Jesus said, Mark 1:17, and I will make you fishers of men. But it's come and know me as Savior, and then go, and I'll show you I'll make you into fishers of men. There's two things going on, isn't there? Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That call to salvation is also, the other part of the call is really a call for a purpose. And I'm encouraged by that, because as Jesus calls the disciples to come and follow him, to be saved, to repent and to trust in him, to believe that he's the Son of God, that he's the only one who can forgive sins, he then is training them. And he spends those three and a half years in ministry with the disciples. And as he's training them, what is he training them to do? He's verifying that he is the Son of God. When he says, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and go home? Well, anyone can say your sins are forgiven, but where's the proof, right? Where's the proof if Jesus were to say that? He says, so you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, I say, take up your mat and go home. So the healing was there for on purpose, to show that he has the authority to forgive sins. That's all Jesus was about. He did the healings to show he has authority. And that's important to understand as we think of this Great Commission. Because he says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Jesus has every right. He's earned it. Philippians chapter 2, where we read about him taking on the very form of a man and becoming obedient to death on the cross, and God giving him the name that's highly exalted above all else, that only at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and tongue confess. That authority is what Jesus has. And that authority is wonderful, because it's the authority that he can forgive your sin. He's the only one. So we come to Jesus knowing he's the one to go to. We've gone to the right one. You know, it's kind of foolish if you ask the wrong person for something and somebody says, sorry, I don't have the authority to do that for you. excuse me, but I was overcharged for my meal and I want a refund. Well, I'm sorry, you'll have to talk to the manager. I don't have the authority to do that. We have to go to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And that is very exclusive, and at the same time, isn't it wonderful to know that we don't chase after all kinds of different gods trying to find somebody to forgive our sins? On the mission field, we find that. India, I mean, anything you've ever heard or seen, yeah, it's there in India. I mean, there's a god for everything for the Hindus. 330 million plus gods, there must be more. I 330 million. How can you even, I can't even count to 330 million. How can you have that many gods? But they have a god for everything. Some of the big ones are the monkey god. And the monkey god, I mean, there's like a 70-foot tall statue of a monkey. I mean, it looks like a man standing up. And they celebrate it and worship it and have festivals over a monkey god. And then there's the snake temple. There they worship snakes. When you don't know Jesus, you're lost. No monkey or snake has authority to forgive sin. And when our brothers and sisters in Christ in India have been freed from the Hinduism, have come to know Jesus, the joy that they have in serving, and then the joy they have, they've come to Jesus, and then they want to go to the unreached villages around them. And they are really villages. Like no running water villages, like pumps and, you know, outhouses out back. Those are the kind of places where our pastors in India are reaching out to. And I'll tell you about the 55 congregations of the AFLC in India and the work that's going on. It's amazing. They've come to Jesus, and then they know they ought to go because they haven't forgotten that freedom that Jesus brings. And that is really, I'm more and more convinced that we need Sunday morning worship services to be reminded. Yet we're here for worship, but we're also reminded of what we have been forgiven and what we've been freed from of trying to find some way to find favor before God. If you've come to God through Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven, you have freedom. You don't have to lay down at night wondering, boy, I hope I'm saved. I hope I go to heaven. There's that confidence. And Sunday morning does that for us, doesn't it? We've got it right. And every time I turn the page of my Bible, it's like, oh yeah, we're doing it right. We've got it right. What God has showed us as truth, this is what we're doing. I hope everything you read in the scriptures is saying, yep, that's what we believe in this church. That's why we believe in this biblical Lutheranism, rediscovering a biblical Lutheranism. And I believe it's the best interpretation of the scriptures and just taking things at face value. We come to Jesus so that we can go. And it's a call to salvation. It's a call to purpose. There's a reason for living when we come to know Jesus. And the disciples, all of them knew this. There's a reason for living. And they devoted their lives to telling others about Jesus. And whatever God has placed, wherever he's placed you, or whatever state of life you're in, there's a way you can tell somebody about Jesus. There's a way you can share what he has done for you. And that's another purpose of the congregation, to help train you in that, to help you to know how you can simply start a conversation with people, to tell them about Jesus. Well, it's so wonderful to hear about your involvement with the Salvation Army and the pregnancy centers and those kinds of things. And it's a living faith. That'd be a great name for a church. Yeah, living faith. So you're an encouragement to us. I've said this before to others. I think I have the best job in the world, the best calling, because you know, we get to visit our missionaries, and then we get to be encouraged by the congregations we visit. The bad part is we don't really feel like we have a home church because we're out so much. And so that, and thank you for singing songs I know this morning. This is wonderful. And it's so good to have good leaders. Yeah, and we so appreciate that. But have you come to Jesus? That's my first question. Do you know that he's the Savior, the only one who can forgive your sins? And if you know Jesus, the joy that you have because of that is the joy that's missing in so many people's lives. It is missing. And then we have the privilege, you know, the Great Commission. It's not a, oh, I suppose I have to do this. But God has given me the authority to go and tell people that there's a Savior. And that's what we need in the joy. And our congregations, we should pump each other up every week, say, the Lord has shown me, and he's laid this person on my heart. Pray for me this week that I have an opportunity to share Jesus and what it means to know Jesus and have my sins forgiven. So we come to Jesus, and then we go, don't we? Jesus' first command to come to Jesus, but his last command kind of reminds me of someone's last words. Last will and testament, or famous last words. You've heard that, right? Have you ever looked up famous last words like deathbed theology or deathbed, you know, miraculous sayings, deathbed words of wisdom? There are like very few. They're not zero, but people get goofy. We all get goofy when our mind starts to go. And the last words people say, if you look some of them up, they're really not so kind. They really don't make sense. It's rare to find somebody that says something logical. One of them, though, is Michael Faraday, the electrochemist, I think, his official title of Michael Faraday. His wife asked him in his dying hours, "Michael, have you ever thought about what your job will be in heaven?" That'd be a good question. I mean, a brilliant man. He had a good response. He still had his whole mind. He simply said, "I shall be with Christ, and that is enough." What a great testimony. So he's living his life, brilliant, could figure out all these things, Michael Faraday, but to be with Christ, that's going to be enough. So this last will and testament, this last command of Jesus, was he cognitive enough to make something make sense? Jesus. The resurrection has taken place. He's appeared to his disciples. He's meeting with them on the mountain he designated. And he comes up and says, "All authority has been given to me." Did he have the authority to say something? Yes, he's just been raised from the dead. And he says the authority comes from heaven and on earth. And he tells the disciples, he tells the church, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." We could really say, you know, boy, it's hard to separate the parts of Jesus, isn't it? Of why he came. He came to die for sinners. He also came that message would be perpetuated through the church. He passed this on through the disciples, who then brought it and planted churches. And there's the missions emphasis. You know, find the Apostle Paul later then going up and going through Asia and Turkey and the Asia Minor and planting churches. And that's what we do with missions. We plant churches. But the last command is the Great Commission. And that last command has some encouraging parts to it. Notice with me here. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." It just sounds like congregations to me, doesn't it? And making disciples. I wrote down this definition a couple years ago about what it is to make a disciple. There's a lot of confusing definitions for making disciples. But to me, this is what making disciples means. Having an ongoing relationship with someone for a spiritual purpose. We want ongoing relationships with people for spiritual purposes. If there's someone you know that doesn't know Jesus, you need to have some ongoing relationship with them. You need to leave the door open. Maybe someone, this has happened to many people I know, where you said something about your faith. "Don't talk to me about your religion or politics. I don't want to hear it." "Okay, fine, I'll never talk to you again." No, you want to keep a relationship going so that when there is a need, something comes up in their life and you pray for that opportunity to speak into their lives what Jesus means to you or some encouragement from Scripture. Boy, if you can get the Word of God in their hands. Well, this is what our missionaries do on the mission field. You find a way to move into a community and then you want to make disciples. You want relationships with people for spiritual purposes. Not because you're using people, but because that's the most important reason you can have a relationship with someone. I want relationships with people because they're eternal, and they either are going to heaven or hell when they die. So we're not using people. We're sharing everything that's important to us with people when we make disciples. And I hope you have that perspective. And that's what our missionaries are doing, devoting their lives, not for numbers of how many converts, but an opportunity to see people know the peace that Jesus, that only Jesus can give, making disciples. That's the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. Go and spend time with people for a spiritual purpose. Have you heard of the Great Commission? Now you can say you have heard of the Great Commission, right? I might dare at the end ask, "Have you heard of the Great Commission?" If everybody's awake, I should check here once in a while. But that last command of Jesus is about sharing Jesus. It's about starting where you're at. It doesn't mean, "Oh no, I have to go to Africa," or "Oh no, I have to go to India." No, you don't even have to go to New York City. You start right here. Yeah, you start right here. And you know what your tool is? I think this is so encouraging. I love this verse 20, the last verse. "Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." Where do we find out what it is that Jesus taught and commanded? It's right here. This is what we need. And we just take it and we take it to people and share a favorite Bible verse. Maybe share, have a quick testimony in the back of your mind that, how did you come to know Jesus? And maybe you can just share with somebody what he's done for you. And it's filled with promises. And lo, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And here's something really exciting, because in verse 20, "Behold, I am with you always." Oh, but you, who is he talking to? Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's only the disciples. Well, it's plural. It's y'all is how it should be in here. And lo, I am with y'all always. God says he is with you. He's with the church. He's with you when you go into all the world and make disciples. And that's a great promise, isn't it? His presence always. We even have his second coming alluded to here. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It doesn't mean then I'm not going to be in it. Well, no, I'm with you to the end. Until I come back, I am with you. Paul knew this well when he wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's a power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes." That's confidence. Do you believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes? Do you have confidence to participate in the Great Commission? That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for myself. I always have this confidence. There's one other Bible verse. 1 Corinthians 15:11. It's so simple. We preach, and so you believed. Ooh, that sounds like a message right there. Let's look at that more, right? Some other time. But do you understand? We preached, and so you believed. Paul there to the Corinthians saying, we were there, we preached the gospel, and you came to faith. That's the Great Commission. He went somewhere, he preached, people came to faith. He was out making disciples. It's really simple. And so may God protect us from complicating the gospel. Just keep it all about Jesus, like we've been talking, just following Jesus. There is a gas station convenience store in the Midwest called, appropriately for my message this morning, Come and Go. And I think it's kind of neat because it's come to Jesus and go and make disciples, although it's not a Christian company. It's not like Hobby Lobby or Chick-fil-A. No, they are even open on Sundays. But what is the point of that? You know, come here for gasoline, and when you're here, you know, pick up some pop, or do you say soda out here? It's pop, right? Soda? Oh, soda. Okay. Soda. And, okay. Soda and popcorn. You don't call it soda corn. So popcorn. And, you know, pizza and lunch and supper and milk and bananas and onions. And they keep expanding this thing. It's this and. And out front, you have several different kinds of animals around town. Is it a bear? What's the? Yeah. Well, they have a big and sign painted like the people paint the bears different. And there's just a big and sign. And it's like they've really marketed this and come here and get something more, too. And when you think of that, and this is my favorite thing with them, glazed donuts. What do glazed donuts look like in Boyertown? They're like donuts, right? Well, no. At Come and Go, they're shaped like an and sign. And the glaze, you know, it's all in. But when we think of the Great Commission, I want to be all in. I want to come to Jesus and go and make disciples. You've come to Jesus, and there's more. Your salvation is secure in Jesus, resting in Jesus. But God calls us to purpose for life then. And I know you're participating in that. And by God's grace, may he lead us, guide us. May we be faithful in following where he wants us to make those disciples right here. And as you're able to help us make disciples other places. But we thank you. And may God be glorified through our congregations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for a simple message, really, to come to Jesus and go and make disciples. Your word is clear. Forgive us for the times we confuse it. And may the gospel message always be clear from our lips, from our congregation, from our pulpits. We thank you for your presence with us always. And the Holy Spirit, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We ask your blessing on our missionaries today. We know many of them struggle with different things, even attracting people to their congregations to hear about you, and help us to know how to pray for them. And I pray in advance, even now too, for the Sunday school hour to follow. We thank you for your word among us. May it bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.